I had a song on my heart this morning and didn't know where to find it. So I mentioned it to Brother Bill. He got, I don't know who he talked to now, somebody, Sister Nancy, I think, Sister Donna, then Sister Nancy had it or something. I don't know. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to that, but I'm going to try to sing it because they found it. Somebody did. Okay. In fact, I may try to sing both. I found one that I liked also in the choir book. So if you don't mind me singing, praise the Lord. If you do, just shut your ears. Amen. But one thing I want to do, okay? I'm glad to see Brother Donnie here today, okay? Amen. I am sure. I know y'all are. I want to give God the praise, amen, because he's able to be. All right, so let's lift our hands real high. Yeah.
Amen.
Sister Shelby ain't raised my ones, but I know why. I know why. I'm just kidding. All right, let's wave them real high. And now clap your hands. Amen. Good to see you, brother. Amen. I wasn't doing that for Donnie. I just want to praise the Lord, you know. Because, you know, he touched me a long time ago, and every day he has to touch me again because I need him every day. Every one of us do. So I'm going to try to sing this song. And just listen to the words of it. I know you've heard it a lot of times, and some of you may not even like it, but that's okay. But I'm glad that he touched me. Amen.
Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus just touch me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Amen. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him.
Amen.
I'll shout it while eternity rolls.
Amen.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
Amen.
Oh, I've loved that song ever since the first time I saw it because it means so much to me because I know that the Lord touched me. Many years ago, when he saved my soul, he touched me. Even today, he's already touched me. And he touches me every day. If I just think about it, trust him, he blesses me and he touches me.
Amen.
And that means one thing to me, other than him touching me, I'm bound for that city. Amen. Are you bound for that city
Amen.
This morning?
Hallelujah.
Are you enjoying your salvation? Are you enjoying what God does for you? Well, you know what? I say this so many times, and I'll say it again this morning. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. And praise the Lord, he's holding my hand today. There's a city of light where there cometh no night, for the sun never sets in the sky. In the Bible we're told that the streets are pure gold and a cool, gentle river runs dry. I'm bound for the city, God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how often I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore. Little children will pray, and our hearts will be gay as we stroll through the city of gold. No more dying of terror, no more sorrows to bear, and nobody will be feeble at all. I'm bound for the city, God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how often I stop to pray, I'm bound for this city on that evergreen shore.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Chapter 9, and I trust and pray this morning that the Lord will just bless. He's already blessed me, and I hope he will bless you before you leave this morning, if he hasn't already. And if he does, just let me know it, okay? Because I need all the prayers that I can get. And I know that there's people in worse shape than I am. But I also know that we all need him every day. Every one of us does. And if we'll just realize, and you know, my wife, before I preach, I want to give you an update on her. Some of you asked me. And she's a little better. I don't say that she's well, because she's not. And we almost lost her twice this past week. I've had her in the emergency room twice this last week. And she still, when she coughs, and she's not coughing as much now, praise the Lord for that. But when she coughs, she loses her breath a lot of times. She can't get what's in there up as easy. But you know that the Lord is in control. And he has touched her, and he's still touching her. I said one time that I was not coming down here because she's always, since she's been sick, she's been wanting me to stay with her. And that's not always the case. So I'll take it that she really means it, okay? So I had to go yesterday several times to get medicine and to get an alarm clock and so that she could, she had to take her medicine every, a lot of different times, and she wanted her alarm clock that she, the alarm clock would go off and she knew she had to take medicine. She got three or four medicines. or maybe more than that, I don't know. But I do know that every time I turn around, she says, I got to take my medicine. I say, well, go ahead and do it. Amen? And so as I thought about that, I said, you know, she is a person that she had a medicines and the time written down. And she wanted me to get a long clock so that she could know what time to take this one and this time to take that one and not miss any of them. And I think that has a lot to do with her being much better. I really do. But God has worked into her heart and her life. And I was telling her I may not go this morning. She said, you better go. So here I am. I didn't really want to leave her. But, you know, the Lord's taking care of her. As she told me, she said, the Lord's looking after me. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. She said, if he doesn't see fit for me to get well, I'll get well up yonder.
Amen.
Amen. So that's all I know. Praise the Lord. She's ready to go. Praise the Lord. I'm ready to go.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, y'all seem to be ready to go, so I can't say that you are, but I believe that you are by your testimonies that I've heard and by the way that I think you live, and also being here every time the church doors open, if you possibly can. And that's a testimony. That is something that everybody ought to be. All right, so with that being said, I want you to turn, if you hadn't already found it. We see here in a few verses, David's kindness in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. It said, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, and the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar. His name was Mephibosheth, right? Okay, so it didn't say that right there, but I'm just telling you. It says, then King David sent, verse 5, and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show you the kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou should eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is it, thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Father, again we come to you and ask you, Lord, just to bless. Father, thank you for the reading of God's word and what it means to me, Lord. And I trust that it means a lot to everybody, because without the word of God, we wouldn't know what to do. But the word of God has all the answers for everything that comes along. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. Now, Lord, I ask you that you would just help us to preach the word of God as it is to the people as they are. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we read and study the Bible, we find that there's one fact that we're sure to notice. That is, the Lord is faithful. He's always been faithful. He's faithful now, and he always will be faithful. Mm-hmm. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he'll be the same forever. So we see that he is faithful. Now, if we were no more, if he was no more faithful than we are, some of us, we could be in a mess, couldn't we? And I believe that's what it's the reason the world is in such a mess, because of what they're doing and turning their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And God will do exactly what he says he's going to do. Right. He'll do exactly what he says to you. So you see, let's be faithful to God, and let's trust him for whatever he's got for us. We can look at the testimony of two of God's aged men for a clear example of God being faithful. We find that, first of all, as Jacob was getting ready to bless Joseph and his two sons, we've noticed what he said in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15. And he said, "And as he blessed Joseph, he said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, it's God which fed me all of my life long to this day." He was testifying here of the faithful feeding of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that God is faithful to provide our needs, is he not?
Yes.
We know he is. And physical, spiritual, and whatever else needed we have, God has faithfully preferred places of feeding for his children, that he might mature and grow in the Lord. Newborn babes in Christ, well, they desire the sincere milk of the word. And they grow as they have the sincere milk of the word. And then they begin to know. And God has a place of feeding, and the children are not feeding, and there must be something wrong. Now this morning, we want to look at one of many places of feeding, and it's found here in this passage of Scripture that I read to you this morning. Now, as we look into the Scriptures, let's see what God has for us, okay? In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we have one of the most beautiful pictures of God's grace being extended to the lost and dying world. We need to realize that Mephibosheth could have received the pardon of the king while he was in Lodabar, but he could not have experienced the provision of the king while he was in Lodabar. No. Excuse me. So you see that those could only be enjoyed at the king's table. Now, we could also say that the sinner may experience forgiveness in the world. You don't have to be in church to be saved, but it sure does mean a lot for you to be in church when you're saved. I got saved in church, praise the Lord for it. I should have been saved before then. God had been working on my heart, yes. But my friend, I didn't get saved till that long. I told you about this the other day, about that long hand going around my uncle and pointing right at me, the preacher's hand, his fingers. So you see, I say everybody, he had the longest fingers that I ever seen. And surely, God used those things to convict me more and save my soul. As soon as I saw that finger go around my uncle's back, I knew this had to be the time, because God had already been working on me, and I know what that meant. Amen. God has a way of getting your attention. If you don't trust him, God's going to get your attention some way or another. And he got Mephibosheth. He got his attention. by the King. You see, we could also say that the experience was given to us in the world, but he cannot discover nor enjoy God's blessing and provision except in the God in God's house, at God's table. Am I all right so far? Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling yourselves in the house of God." So we're not to forsake ourselves in the work of God, in the church of God. God's promises the child of God a life that will flourish and produce fruit in old age. But it's a conditional promise. The condition is that of being planted in the house of the Lord. You want to read it? You can read it in Psalms 92, verse 12, down to verse 14. It tells you about it. I'm not going to take time this morning to read that, but you take a pen and write it down if you don't already know where it says. Psalms 92, verse 12, down to verse 14. You see, the King's house is essential for those that who would experience pardon from the Lord. We notice the voice of the Trinity. And when these verses, when David said, "He shall eat at my table continually." I eat at God's table continually. I might eat at my table what God allowed me to eat at, loaned it for to me while I'm in this world. I have nothing but what God has blessed me with. And what I do have is God's, because he blessed me with them.
Amen.
And I say this, when I sit down at my table, when I say my table, at my house, I mean that God allowed me to it. God allowed me to do it. And he feeds me there, yes. But when I get in God's house, I get fed spiritually, and that's what I need more than I do fleshly.
Right.
You see, I can go a long time without eating food from the table that I'm renting. I can go a long time before I eat there. And sometimes I get hungry. Flesh is speaking, yes. But don't want it sometimes. But when God blesses, I want it. I want everything I can get. I need everything I can get. That I can live for the Lord and let him bless me as much as he will. And I believe that he'll bless us if we bless him.
Yeah.
Amen? Come on now. Am I telling that right or is I not? If I is not, then don't say that. But if I is, then let me know it. Okay? Smile at me. Look at me like you could kill me. Or say amen one to the other. Okay? All right. Now, when you come to the King's table, I want us to notice four or five things. We've got plenty of time for Chris to get you. I want us to notice four or five things. When you come to the King's house, you will be exposed to the poverty of your past. We need that, don't we? The day and time we're living in. Everything's turned upside down in this old world. But we need to trust the Lord. And when we trust the Lord, we'll be exposed to the poverty of our past. You see, Lodabar probably never looked so bad. excuse me. To Mephibosheth until he arrived at the King's table and looked around for a description of the King's table on a certain day. And we need only to look at the table of King Solomon in 1 Kings 4:22-23. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fed oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures and 100 sheep beside harts and roebucks and fowl deer and fatted fowls. I would say that this was a far cry from what Mephibosheth was used to down in Lodabar. And as he looked upon a table like this, it must have reminded him of what he came from. This is also true in the prodigal's life, wasn't it? He came to himself. When he came to himself, he wanted to go home. I'm no matter the prodigal son now. His continuous condition probably didn't seem so bad until he remembered his father's house. We need to remember our father's house, don't we?
Yes.
The Bible says in Luke 15, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You see, the Christian pilgrim can see the helplessness of his past when he begins to consider the father house. In John 14, verse 2, what did he say? In my father's house are many mansions. Amen? All right. We'll be exposed then to the poverty of our past. But not only that, we'll be exposed to the position that we possess. We have a position in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Mephibosheth was brought to the king's table, he realized that he occupied a new position. He was no longer the same person. He was different in many ways. That's what happens. The first difference was his standing. Now think about that a minute. He had lame legs and he couldn't stand. But the Bible says he was standing in verse 11. He now had the rights and the standing of a king's son. People, this is also true of the sinner who has been born again, born from above. And we find in the book of Romans that we are no longer enemies of God. It also tells us that there is now no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. The second difference is in his substance. Everything that he had lost through his grandfather Saul was now regained. So it was with us. Everything that we lost in Adam has now been regained. You see, everything that we lost in Adam has been regained. The final difference was his supplication. Read verse 8 there. The final difference was his supplication. He was no longer beggar in poverty, but now he fellowships and dines with the king as a son. What do we do? Don't we fellowship with the king? Don't we realize that? He was no longer a beggar in poverty. He fellowships and dines with the king as a son. And these crippled legs were still crippled, but they couldn't be seen when he got them on his table. Let me say something now. When he got them under the table, it's the same with us. They cannot be seen when we get them under the blood, those sins. Amen?
Amen.
If they're under the blood, God knows them, sees the blood. That's shouting ground right there. If the blood makes all the difference in the world, what is that that flows through your body that keeps you alive? It's the blood. Amen? And we would better be having the royal blood flowing through our body. Yeah, you know, I think about a guy that I used to do some book work for. And it didn't take about 2 or 3 hours to do his book work. And I did them once a month. We got to talking one day, and I was trying to witness to him. And talking about death, you know, he's dead now. His wife died, and then he died right after that. They were real close. But he was kind of strange. But he had a lot of truth. One day we was talking, I said, one of these days, we're going on to be with Jesus if we're saved. And I said, when that last breath we take, we go one of the other places. He said, you're right. I agree with it 100%. And then we're talking a little bit, and he says, you know what takes us out of here? We go out, you know, we say we've got pneumonia, we've got heart trouble, anything like that carries us out of here, and that's true. But when we take that last breath, they says, when you have that, when that heart stops, that's it. And he was right. When that heart stops, that's it. Because there's no more breath in you. But when the blood flows through us, it stops flowing because of the heart stopping. That heart pumps the blood through you, don't it? Well, I said all that to say this, and you might have got a little confused. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that keeps us alive. And we're alive because he's alive. We're serving an awesome God. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore.
Right.
And because he's alive, we're alive also.
Praise God.
I like that, don't you?
Hallelujah.
He said, oh, triple legs spoke of the poverty of his past, but they no longer buffeted him, but they blessed him. They no longer tormented him, but now they tender him. He's a king's son. Excuse me. And that is forever. If you're going to believe it, read verse 7. Forever. All right, not all of that. Number 3 is this. You will be exposed to the preciousness of your pardon. Mephibosheth soon learned that all he enjoyed was at the expense of another. Think about what that's saying. What we learn is we enjoy it by the expense of another. And the same way all that the child of God enjoys is because of what the Lord purchased at Calvary. Amen. Yeah. Philippians 2 and 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, the most cruel, the most shameful death known to man. He did. When he died on Calvary's cross. 1 Peter chapter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Quickened by the Spirit. Just for the unjust in our stead. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19 to verse 21, it says, well, it's by one man's sin, disobedience, Adam was made sinners. We're made sinners. Many were made sinners, excuse me. So by the obedience of one, what happened? Many were made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Amen.
Amen.
We're not living under the law anymore, even though that we have to obey the laws of this land. If we don't, we're going to have to pay for it. I thought about it the other day when I was speeding a little bit. I had to look back, and there I saw a car that looked like, you know, a policeman's car. And you really can't tell anymore hardly unless you get right there at them. I slowed down real quick. Because I didn't want a ticket. I need my license. Even though I can't drive good, as my wife says, she don't like to ride with me. I said, well, if you don't like to ride with me, drive. And I don't mind her driving. I don't like to drive that much now anyway. I don't know why, but I just can't keep my mind on what I'm doing. Well, I do know why that is. Yeah. I'm in the golden age, they say. That's what somebody said to me the other day. I said, I'm not in no golden age. I'm getting close to the golden age because I'm going to heaven one day and we're on the streets of gold.
Amen.
That's the only way I'm be that way. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus? Isn't it wonderful to know that He loves you and cares for you?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to know the royal blood flows through your veins?
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, let's get on. Okay. All right. The presence of the King. We see that not only are we exposed to the poison of our fans, the position that we possess, and the purchase of our pardon, but we're also exposed to the presence of the King. The presence of the King. Well, don't you feel something a little bit different in your soul this morning? Mm-hmm. When you listen to the Word of God, as bad sometimes as it's preached through me, can't you really, really understand and trust the Lord and be in the presence of the Lord? Why, where is the presence of the Lord? Anywhere that you are. You know why? Because you're a child of the King. If you're saved now. I'm talking to everybody, and I think everybody's saved, but I don't know. I hope you are. I'm a child of the King. And I'm in His presence. I know that I sin and come short of the glory of God. We all do. A person says he don't sin, I'm going to get away from him real quick. Because in this old sinful body, we may not aim to do it, but we do. He talks about that continuous sin, doing the same thing time after time after time, and not getting forgiveness for it, not asking forgiveness, because God will forgive you if you ask Him. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God, as I said a while ago. And when we get in the presence of God, we see not only those pardoned, but we also see we in the presence of the King. Now, the King could not be found in the garden or the courtyard or in the stables. At least he could be found three times a day at the King's table. When the child of God goes searching for the Lord's presence, he may not be able to find it in other places. But one thing for sure, it'll always be found at the King's table. Where is the King's table? Right here. And when we find it at the King's table, when we be found at the King's table, when the child of God goes looking for him, we may not be able to find him in other places, but one thing for sure, he will always be found at the King's table. He will not be found in the garbage cans of the world. That will not be sufficient. On the Lord's Day, many of God's children, they say they are anyway, trying to satisfy their hunger somewhere else. We can't satisfy our hunger anywhere else except at the Lord's table.
That's right.
And when we scooch up real close to Him, and let him work in our heart and our life. We can be in his presence and feel his presence. And we won't be at the golf course on his day. We won't be at the racetracks on his day. We won't be up in the mountains at his day. And we won't be down the lake in his days. Some of y'all might like that. Some of you probably won't. But anyway, those places, I tell you, will not satisfy that hunger. You might enjoy it for a little while, but that's your worldly flesh. And I said a while ago, I sin, come short of the glory of God. I'm not perfect yet. Praise God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be perfect.
Amen.
You see, I want to close with this. You'll be exposed to the practice of praise. Mephibosheth, what did he do? He found himself bowing before the king in humble praise and gratitude, didn't he? It wouldn't hurt us to bow in humble adoration to the Lord once in a while. You see, it's a necessity for Mephibosheth to go to the king's table to eat. It's also a necessity for us as children of God to find ourselves in the house of God. You say, why, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked. Because one of the places where God feeds his children is in the house of God. You might not be fed this morning, but I hope God has said something through me that you can take home with you and you can use in your life. Are you hungry? Jesus said, come and dine. You see, all this. Trust that this week we'll scoot up to the king's table and enjoy what he has for us. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. Took my place at Calvary. Now I won't have to go. All my life I give him. He gave his for me. When he signed my pardon. There at Calvary.
Amen.
All right. We need to step up closer to the Lord, don't we?
Yes.
We need to just scoot up close to him and feel his presence. I know today that every one of us, if we stop and think about it, have something that we need to pray about or something we need to pray for. Or someone that we need to pray for. This world don't hold anything for us as Christians. It ain't nothing but problems this day and time. Why, some people are so scared and so, excuse me for saying about talking about this, but I just can't get it off my mind. My wife's daughter, and most of you know what I think. Her and her husband went down to Sam's yesterday to get some paper towels, as they always do, and toilet tissue. Did you know they sold out? Just because of this virus. Just because of what the news is saying about it. We'd be better off if we and just did what God tells us and cut our TV off or find something that we can enjoy. Because the news will not tell you any good things. No, uh-uh. And they try to, you know, I guess they try to just get you upset. I don't know. And the government does too. I'm not saying that what they're doing by closing up some things, that, especially the schools, I don't know. I got my thoughts about all of it. I'm not going to tell you about them, my thoughts. But I feel like maybe they did do a few things right. But most of them has just done got the world so upset and so confused, and I don't know what else to say. They just don't know what they're doing. But we just have to trust the Lord.
Right.
As Christians. And that's my final thought to you. Trust the Lord and let Him share with you what to do in your life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We ask, Lord, that you take it and use it for your honor and your glory in every heart and every life that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are sick. So many, Lord. And Sister Shelby was saying something about somebody a while ago, and I didn't understand. I couldn't hear it well. But Lord, whatever it might be in the need, if there's a need for prayer, Lord, you know. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for them. I pray, Lord, Brother Don. Lord, I pray that you just continue to strengthen him, Lord. I know he wants to be in this pulpit, preaching the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you just give him his desire, and that he might be able to. Lord, I pray, Sister Shelby, as she helps him out, and I know she does, Christian helps him too. And I pray, Lord, that for my wife, pray, Lord, you continue to touch her body and strengthen her.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for what you've already done. And Lord, I pray that you continue to work in the hearts and the lives and the bodies of those that are sick.
Yes, Lord.
Especially those that are sin sick, Lord. I pray that you save that one that needs to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.